Welcome to episode 245 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today we conclude our study of the book of Galatians, written by the Apostle Paul to the churches he founded in a province that is a part of modern-day Turkey. Galatians is likely the first New Testament book to be written, composed around AD 49. One of the main themes of the book is found in Galatians 3, verse 11. The righteous shall live by faith. We must stand firm in this truth. Any insistence on adherence to the law for one to be saved, or the mixture of human effort and the grace of God for salvation, leads to heresy. If we could be saved through the keeping of the law, then Jesus did not need to die. Trying to save ourselves nullifies grace. Not only are we saved by faith, but the life of the believer in Christ, day by day, moment by moment, is lived through and by that faith. Not that faith is something we conjure up on our own. It is the gift of God, not of works. But it is our responsibility and joy to exhibit our faith so that others will see the work of Christ in us and to grow in our faith by the application of spiritual disciplines, Bible study, prayer, obedience, etc. Here are 10 final takeaways from the Apostle Paul's epistle. 1. Paul calls a church to consider whether in their actions they are seeking to please men or God. Galatians 1 verse 10. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Human opinions do not matter if we are doing the will of God. 2. Paul does not want them to rely on the law to keep them from sinning, but rather to walk by the Spirit. He knows there will be a battle between the flesh and the Spirit because the two oppose each other. He tells them that the only way to not gratify the desires of the flesh is to be led by the Holy Spirit. In doing this, they will be free from the law and will be pleasing God. The Galatians may have felt that there were only two choices: follow the law or sin. But we have a third choice, and that is to walk by the Spirit. Paul says when we walk by the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. He does not say you will not have the desires. He only says you will not gratify them. What fleshly desires are you battling right now? The Holy Spirit is inside of you, and He wants to free you. But you must be led by the Holy Spirit rather than the flesh to overcome that desire. Surrender that desire to the Lord right now and ask Him to help you not gratify that desire, but instead walk by the Spirit. 3. God has impeccable timing. Galatians 4 verses 4 to 5. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Paul's choice of the word fullness indicates God's active role in working out His purpose in human history. Jesus did not come at just any time. He came at the precise time God had prepared. From a historical perspective, that time is known as the Pax Romana, the Roman peace, a 200-year period of relative stability and peace across the Roman Empire. Rome's conquest of the Mediterranean world brings peace, a common language, favorable means of trade, and a common culture that facilitates the rapid spread of the gospel. From a biblical perspective, it also marks the time that God had set for the coming of the promised Messiah. You might remember what we studied in Daniel 9, verses 24 to 27. Number 4. In Galatians 4, verse 4, the phrase "born under the law" points not only to Jesus' Jewish heritage, but also includes the fact that He bore our condemnation. Thus, it was necessary for Christ to assume our humanity because we could not save ourselves. By uniting His divine nature with our fallen human nature, Christ legally became qualified to be our substitute, Savior, and High Priest. As the second Adam, He came to reclaim all that the first Adam had lost by His disobedience. By His obedience, He perfectly fulfilled the law's demands, thus redeeming Adam's tragic failure. And by His death on the cross, He met the justice of the law, which required the death of the sinner, thus gaining the right to redeem all who come to him in true faith and surrender. Number 5. Galatians 2 verse 16. We know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Although the phrase works of the law does not occur in the Old Testament and is not found in the New Testament outside of Paul, stunning confirmation of its meaning emerged in 1947 with the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls, a collection of writings copied by a group of Jews called Essenes who lived at the time of Jesus. Although written in Hebrew, one of the scrolls contains this exact phrase. The scroll's title can be translated, Important Works of the Law. It describes a number of issues based on biblical law concerned with preventing holy things from being made impure, including several that mark the Jews as separate from the Gentiles. At the end, the author writes that if these works of the law are followed, you will be reckoned righteous before God. Unlike Paul, the author does not offer his reader righteousness on the basis of faith, but on the basis of behavior. Number 6. Paul sees baptism as a radical decision to unite our lives with Christ. In Romans 6, he describes baptism symbolically as our uniting with Jesus, both in his death and resurrection. In Galatians, Paul employs a different metaphor. Baptism is the art of being clothed with Christ. Paul's terminology is reminiscent of wonderful passages in the Old Testament that talk about being clothed with righteousness and salvation. Paul views baptism as a moment when Christ, like a garment, envelops the believer. Although he does not employ the term, Paul is describing the righteousness which is conferred upon believers. Number 7. In exasperation, Paul writes in Galatians 4 verse 10, "You were observing special days and months and seasons and years." Many have interpreted this as an objection, not merely against ceremonial laws, but against the Sabbath as well. Such an interpretation, however, goes beyond the evidence. For starters, if Paul really wanted to single out the Sabbath and other specific Jewish practices, it is clear from Colossians 2 verse 16 that he easily could have identified them by name. Second, Paul makes it clear that whatever it is that the Galatians are doing, it has led them from freedom in Christ to bondage. If observance of the seventh-day Sabbath subjects a man to bondage, it must be that the Creator himself entered into bondage when he observed the world's first Sabbath. Also, why would Jesus not only have kept the Sabbath, but taught others how to keep it if its proper observance were in any way depriving people of the freedom they have in him? Number 9, Galatians 5 verse 2. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. It would be a mistake to assume that Paul was opposed to circumcision itself. What Paul objected to was the insistence that Gentiles had to submit to circumcision. The false teachers said, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. The issue then was not really about circumcision, but about salvation. Salvation is either by faith in Christ alone, or it is something earned by human obedience. Number 9. Believers are the spiritual children of Sarah, Abraham's wife, not Hagar. That is, we are children of the free woman, not children of the slave. We have more in common with Isaac, the son of promise, than with Ishmael, the son of human effort. Number 10. The letter to the Galatian congregations discloses many facts not found elsewhere about Paul's life and apostleship. Father, thank you for the lessons we learn about righteousness by faith, the fruit of the Spirit, and baptism, among others, from the book of Galatians. Help us to accept the gift of salvation and to walk moment by moment by the Spirit. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.